they are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, Hidney Cup gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder. Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Energy, powering beyond.
Yes, it is. Hey, we got a special guest here. We missed her on Tuesday, but we have some news, and it's Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350, and just also co-host of Rock the Vote Native Style, which we're going to rev up again. And we're going to get a report, like a 8-minute report from Nancy and what's happening up in the deep north and what's happening in her life. So welcome, Nancy Bolio.
Bonjour, Mr. Pilot. Always a pleasure to be here. And, you know, my absence on Tuesday was well-deserved, as we, some of us local natives here, participated in our precinct caucuses, because we believe if we're not at the table, we are what's being served. So in the bitter cold, I think it was like minus 30 with the windshield. Nothing stopped us, Robert, because we know we have to get through whatever it takes to show up. So we were fortunate enough to pass resolutions that pertain to the treaties, treaty education, not just in, you know, K through 12. Or we also passed a resolution on behalf of the Native People's Caucus to have constitutional training as part of the law enforcement training, because when they swear to uphold a United States Constitution as they receive their law enforcement badges, that should include Article 6. And we feel, because many of them probably don't know the Constitution or forget that Article 6 is there, we feel that it's really critical that that constitutional training to include Article 6 be a part of that training. So showing up in these kind of spaces is where, you know, we help set the party's platform. We also get to vote as delegates to choose the candidates that will win the endorsement. So there's a lot of good work to do. And as Native American people, it can be intimidating, but also I also find a lot of excitement in bringing the treaties forward and being a voice for our people. So I encourage people to get involved. It's never too late. You can find us, some of the political work at the Native People's Caucus of the Minnesota DFL on Facebook. And Sunday we have a meeting at 1. And we're, if you would just want to join us and see what we're all about, I encourage our relatives and our non-Native allies to join that space with us to further the work that we're going to do together collectively as treaty people. So, yeah, we're getting ready for a lot of good things. You and I had a good talk today about the Native People's symposium, the Rock the Vote style, and what it's going to look like. And again, we're going to share with our listeners and our followers, you know, what it looks like to engage, you know, on the local and state and federal political work that we need to further along with the treaties and climate change and housing issues, all those things. So I encourage people to really pay attention to, you know, showing up. And we're here, Robert, to help guide the way. So we want to make that known, that if anyone feels intimidated or not sure how to show up, that's some of the work that we're going to be doing here in northern Minnesota through our work at the Bemidji 350 office in MN 350. We want to give them a shout out. Mm-hmm. They have agreed to support the treaty work that we need to do. And we're excited because we're looking at the third week in February as being that first gathering of our Native community to set the foundation and invite our relatives and our allies in at a further date. Because, Robert, we're going to continue to write that story of the future that we're going to build together And I think this is an opportunity for us to extend the invite and encourage people, Native and non-Native, to come and join us. So, again, the third week in February is an invite only, but I want people to pay attention to some of the updates that we'll be sharing in the next few weeks of how to get engaged. And so I encourage people to join us.
Yeah, exactly. And we have some serious momentum happening. And I just want to give you a shout out because you're the real deal of how up in the deep north, you were involved heavily with 9,000 people being first time voters. You helped personally get those people registered. And also, we also did the census. So we're on the roll, you know, people are going, wow, where did all these Indians come from? Well, we've been hiding and we're coming out of hiding and we're going to get involved.
Right. And, you know, that's the good work coming out of the Bemidji 350 chapter. And I also want to give a shout out to some of the other, you know, orgs that are coming in. We have the 218 MMIW that's going to be at the table with us. The Indigenous Environmental Network, Honor the Earth, some of our community leaders. And we're really going to, in a good way, create that space where we can build on together what that the community looks like. And it involves people power, Robert, because what we've seen last time was many times over, I should say, is where these candidates will take our vote and then forget about us after November 3rd. So through the last two election cycles, I have learned what's working and what's not working. And I think what's important here is that we combine all these great orgs and all this great effort and continue to show up and teach each other how to show up. And we're just going to build on power, Robert, because we are still here and we're very resilient and we're willing to learn and we want to play this game better than they do.
And we can. And we can. And I think with people like you, I know for me, being younger or not involved years ago in politics, it's hard to maneuver around and can be intimidating. And it's built that way to not have everybody involved. So it's great work that you guys are doing up there and that we'll be doing over the airways and in symposiums.
Right. And again, you know, there's another good part about Minnesota 350 when it comes to this political work. We have the MN 350 Action, which is our political leg. And we are working on endorsements there as well, Robert. So this weekend, I will be crafting up some treaty-type questions for our candidates and with the help of our BIPOC caucus as well. So I think, you know, the places that we're creating is where we want to minimize being intimidated or fearful of the uncertainties. And, you know, there's good people like myself, like you and Heather Keeler and Mary Kunish Godin that help our people show up. And I think we have to keep building on that. And it takes all of us in a commitment to do that. And we want to be that little core of what it takes to navigate through all this. And so, Robert, we're here in a good way, and we're always going to be here in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Nancy, thank you for stopping in and giving us that report about how we can remain having power and get power in a good way. I really appreciate you. Thank you so much for stopping in.
Well, thanks for having me again. And one more shout out on the Native People's Caucus of the Minnesota DFL. We have a meeting Sunday at 1. Come and just eavesdrop and find out what it takes to show up, because that's what we're there for, okay?
Perfect. Sounds great. Pini Gigi, Nancy Bolio, Bemidji 350. Was great to hear from her, Wendy. Always a positive influence and hard worker.
You know what? Absolutely. And I have to say, I really missed caucusing this year because I'm in New York and I had other commitments and I was not able to do that. But that's something that we got involved with, Robert, every year.
Yeah, and I signed up because it was I've yet to hear, but I've signed up. It was a online, a virtual caucus here in the Twin Cities. And I know you're in New York taking care of family business. But, yeah, so, hey, we're going to talk to State Senator of Minnesota Mary Kunish. And then we're going to have a quick report from Ruth Buffalo about what's happening in North Dakota here this coming up Monday. So we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Ripping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Welcome back, everyone.
The show is brought to you by Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Thank you, Wendy. So sorry about talking over you. I'll get this radio thing down here in the next decade or so, I'm sure. It comes a little slow. I'm a little slow. But, hey, this is Friday. It's State Senator Mary Kunish Day. But I asked Ruth Buffalo, North Dakota representative, to stop in for a couple minutes. And I know Ruth and Mary are friends and know each other really well. And I wanted her to stop in just to give us a quick update of what she's doing this coming Monday, the Take Action Rally. And I know we talk about, and at the end of the show, every show we have, Wendy says, free Leonard Peltier. So I'm wondering, first of all, welcome, Ruth Buffalo. And I'm wondering if you could just give us an update on what you have cooking on Monday. And I really appreciate you stopping in. Oop, I got you on mute. Hold on 1 second. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. Madzigirads, thank you for having me. I'm working with a collective of people who are working to amplify the need to get Leonard released. And so we have a rally that'll be held on the steps of the federal courthouse here in Fargo. We have a full roster of speakers, Nick Estes, Russell Myrie, a representative from Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewas, council, also the Sisseton Wahpeton Oyate Chairman Hopkins, also Spirit Lake Nation Chairman Yankton, myself, Tracy Wilkie, and Karen Van Fossen. And then we'll have refreshments, coffee, and an open mic at the Indigenous Association following the rally.
It's great to amplify, and I know you and state senator and many natives have signed the pledge to President Biden to get Leonard out. It's been 46 years as a political prisoner, and it's time. You know, he has COVID now, I heard, and it's just time now, Ruth.
Yes, definitely. So thankful for the support of our Native American state legislators across the country. End of October, early November, we all signed on to a letter urging the release of Leonard Peltier. We sent a letter to Biden and the Bureau of Prisons. And then we also did a resolution passed by the National Native American State Legislators Caucus. And then most recently, the caucus sent out a letter asking for medical release, again, to Biden and the Bureau of Prisons.
Wow. Keep up the great work. State Senator, do you have any questions for Ruth before we let her go? It's good to see you, Mary Kunish.
No, I don't have questions for her, but I just want to say, you know, Wapulatanka for continuing the push to release Leonard Peltier. I know that you were instrumental in that resolution and in the letters that have been sent out to the president and to the prison. So it's just really delightful to know that we can count on you to advocate for Leonard in that way. And hopefully this does the trick and he's able to go home and spend his last days with his family. There was a change in policy within the prisons that allowed for the release of, you know, nonviolent, aging, perhaps ill inmates or residents there. And some have been released, but Leonard Peltier has not, even in spite of the fact that he, the conviction that he was sent to prison under has been questioned time and time again for any validity or proof. And so let's hope that this last push this Monday is the ticket and Leonard Peltier gets to go home to his loved ones.
Yes, thank you so much. Which leads me to also make mention of there's a HR 3669 that was introduced by Congressman Jerry Nadler on June 1st of 2021, a COVID-19 Safer Detention Act of 2021. So the collective of people who are working to get Leonard released are also encouraging the public to contact their congressional representatives and delegation and ask for the passage of these different bills that are kind of in the docket. So there's HR 3669 and then HR 929 introduced by Senator Ted Deutsch on February 8th of 2021. And that bill amends the Second Chance Act of 2000 by modifying the eligibility criteria for an elderly offender to qualify for early release from prison and placement in home detention. Specifically, it reduces the amount of prison time an elderly offender must serve by the amount of good time credits earned by the offender. And so this bill language appears to limit its applicability to nonviolent offenders. The bill is short and contains one section titled Section 1, Elderly for Certain Nonviolent Offenders. But I can send all this information to you, too, Senator Kunish, and you can hopefully share that with Native Roots Radio and get the word out. But there's, again, a big push to call the White House, and we have that number listed on the flyer. But again, just really asking the public to get on the horn and call their congressional representatives and ask for the release of Leonard Peltier.
Thank you, Pinigigi, State Representative North Dakota Ruth Buffalo, for stopping in. I know you're really busy and this was last minute, but I wanted to amplify what's going on this Monday at 12 p.m. In Fargo. And also call the president, call the White House, 202-456-1111. Thank you so much, Ruth.
One more thing. I just wanted to plug in there, too. There are other gatherings and rallies being held on Sunday, February 6th at Coleman, Florida. And all of this information is posted on the International Defense Committee for Leonard Peltier. They have a Facebook page, Twitter. Also, locally, there is Rapid City, 1 p.m. February 7th on Monday at their federal building. And then Albuquerque, February 7th, Monday, 11:30 Mountain Standard Time. And San Francisco, Monday, February 7th at noon, outside of their federal building as well. So wow. Thank you so much, Madzigirads.
Great to see you, Ruth. Pini Gigi, thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, Mary, that's intense, and I'm glad that you're really involved with this and really support this too. I just had to get Ruth in real quick during your segment. I hope you don't mind, because I saw her flyer and I saw this thing's going on, and I just reached out to her, and here you are. I can't really cut into Wendy's segment because, you know, we're married, so... No, I'm just kidding, but
not a problem. I that was really important that we got that you shared that information and that we're able to put the word out there in the broad spectrum of this radio world. And so I think that was a great, great, great way to do it.
So I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but Wendy and I were talking about it, and I know the previous show, Matt McNeil here in the Twin Cities was talking about another issue in Minneapolis, and we had to close. Well, I wanted to say two things. We have Leonard Peltier prints at our store, Native Roots Trading Post, for sale that helps with his paying for his lawyers and things like that. And we also have dog tags and things. But we had to close the store down because of possible protesting for the next 2 days.
That's tough. That's tough. It's such a strange time that we live in, and I know you probably feel the same way. But I never thought that we would be in such a state of turmoil across the nation, and even here in Minnesota. Though I do remember when there was a lot of unrest back in the day here in Minneapolis, when AIM was at its height, when there was other issues going on in North Minneapolis. And my dad and mom were from St. Paul, and we lived about 80 miles north of the Twin Cities. So, but my dad kept tabs on everything that was going on down here. And I remember after there was some issues going on, and there was, uprisings, he would drive us down here and we would drive around and look around, and, it feels like that all over again. I wish my dad was around. I could talk to him about this stuff, but it just, it's just never ending. It feels like, and it's really hard. It's just really hard. People are, broken. They're sad. They're defeated. And it's like, what do we do? How do we fix this?
All right.
So if anybody has any ideas, we want to hear it at the Minnesota legislature.
Well, get better policing going on, because this is ridiculous. In 9 seconds, they murdered this BIPOC person, and and they got the cameras out there and showed it and everything. And what was happening before these cameras were around, Mary? That's what I'd like to know. This was happening, but we just did not know about it, I think. And now people are angry, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
Can you stay with us?
We will never know what happened in the past, but thank heavens that those cameras are mandated and that we're able to get at them quick. It used to be weeks and weeks and weeks.
Right, and they had to put this one out. People demanded it. It was just so bizarre. Bizarre what happened. This busting in doors without saying who you are, and all these things that, I mean, St. Paul, it's against the law. We haven't done that since 2016. But, hey, we'll get back with you don't mind stopping in again, and we'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Local biotech company Primal's Health Solution to Dental Health is literally out of this world. Daily dental care is being tested at the International Space Station as a possible dental hygiene solution for space travel. Microbiologist Dr. Emily Snines knows the impact of poor dental health. Her grandmother suffered a severe stroke as a result of advanced gum disease. Knowing bacteria are at the root, Dr. Stein created daily dental care. Like mints, these prebiotic lozenges freshen breath and block bacteria from converting sugars into acid, plaque, and destructive smelly byproducts. They also grow beneficial bacteria through molecular nutrition, a safer and more effective way to combat gum disease. A study funded by the National Institute of Health concluded that 76% who used Fosidin lozenges showed significant improvement in gum health, and 100% showed a decrease in bacteria linked to gum disease and Alzheimer's. Daily Dental Care Fosidin lozenges are available at dailydentalcares.com, cares with an S. And for every bottle purchased, one is donated to a local senior living facility. dailydentalcares.com.
Hello, it's Randy Rhodes, Team Randy. Glad to be a part of the lineup of Progressive Voices on AM 950. Tune in, join us weeknights at 10.
Treat yourself to some Wisco Home Goods natural lotions or sugar scrub in 2022. I'm Don, one of the owners of this family-owned Midwestern business in Madison, Wisconsin. Our natural hand soaps, lotions, and sugar scrubs offer you the luxury you deserve. Wisco Home Goods self-care products come in a variety of scents you're sure to love. So go on, add a little pampering to your daily routine. Order at WiscoHomeGoods.com. Natural, healthy, nourishing self-care and more at WiscoHomeGoods.com.
Now, more than ever, we are being faced daily with the topic of human mortality. And for many people, estate planning has been top of mind. Getting your estate planning done now can be easy and cost-effective. Truman Law offers virtual options for initial consultations so that new clients can safely initiate the process. With many facing uncertain financial situations, Shroman Law also offers affordable fees for legal documents. Learn more at shromanlaw.com. That's S-C-H-R-O-M-E-N-Law.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call because we don't like to see anyone in pain. And we'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
Chamblot Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChamblotFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Cloudy tonight, low of 8 below, wind chills around 20 below. Then a chance of snow on Saturday gives way to sunshine with a high of 25. The locally owned Vinaigrette has a top selection of olive oils, seed and nut oils, and vinegars in the Twin Cities. Vinaigrette is located at 50th Street and Xerxes Avenue in Minneapolis, or order online at VinaigretteMN.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Well, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're talking about a lot of things. We shared some of her time with Ruth Buffalo and the Free Leonard Peltier Monday event that she's doing, and we talked a little bit about the Minneapolis police seem to can't get it together here. They're still killing BIPOC people, and it's a hard day, you know. It's really hard. But you are now state senator back in session. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Maybe that's a little more happier.
I don't know if it's not happier, but it's different. Yeah, we also lost a young man in a school shooting. Some other kids came to the school, and this young man was shot. It was only his second day at this new school. And so one of the issues, and we've talked about this over and over and over again, is some kind of gun control. You know, you have to wonder where are people getting these weapons that they are using? It's, you know, and people will say, it's not the gun, it's the person behind it. But there's someone that is purchasing these guns, and that there are people that are not keeping them safe, you know, from other people to use them. And it's just very, very scary. Certainly it's scary when someone blasts through your door and you've got a weapon to protect yourself. But it's another thing when there are all these other shootings and a lot of innocent people being killed because of them. Yes, Minnesota started their session on Monday. And the House is going hot and heavy, dropping bills, hearing bills already. We have not started doing that in the Minnesota Senate. They seem to kind of run on a different schedule or a different level of urgency than our House members. But I dropped a bill that would not allow for the use of Native names or connection, historic, you know, cultural connection to sports teams. So I, of course, you know who I was thinking about when I dropped that one. There's just a lot of other things that are going to be going on. Minnesota has a large surplus, a very large surplus. And it's not because we have overtaxed our constituents in any way, shape, or form. But we really have that responsibility to use that surplus in the best way possible. And I would like to see it reinvested into our communities, especially our schools. There was a number of years where literally the funds that were put aside for schools were borrowed and used to balance our budget here in Minnesota. And so it was the schools that really paid. It was our students, it was the classroom, it was the classroom teachers that really paid that price by not having the resources, not only like material items, but, you know, not enough teachers or support folks in the classroom. And Robert, you were a teacher, I was a teacher for 25 years, and we felt that loss really significantly. And so my hope is that we reinvest that, or we use that money to put towards our school, our early childhood learning, childcare, and then all of the other resources that are so needed for our students, our English language learners, our special ed students, and not just, you know, in that maybe pre-K through 12, but, you know, those members of our community need a little bit of time, they need a little more resources. So I'd like to see that extended, you know, till they're older, 20, 21, 22, and then help them in that transition into adulthood and with a job and perhaps living somewhat on their own. So there's a lot of good ways that we can use those dollars on top of giving perhaps tax breaks to those who really deserve it, lower middle class folks, mm-hmm. and not the wealthy.
Well, our heating bill's out of control, but one of the things too that I would like to back up in on that bill too is one of the things I started as an educational assistant or para. And I know those guys are boots on the ground, and they start at a wage that is below poverty. And maybe we can funnel some money to the paras that really are boots on the ground, too, with the teachers and schools. I just want to advocate that real quick. And also, we had a guest, Mary, a couple guests on Monday that will be protesting the Chiefs. You know, they were protesting the Chiefs game, and there's still work to be done. I know Clyde Belcourt, you were alluding to earlier. You know, there was a lot of work, but there's still work to be done. We have the Kansas City team and the Atlanta team that are still national teams that are, you know, with racist names and logos.
Yep. There's still a lot of work to be done, and it's never ending. To go back to your position as a para educator or an education assistant. Absolutely. Those are the folks that, you know, sit down with the student and review the work and help them, you know, navigate through their day in so many ways. And I 100% agree with you. We also, I'd also like to see them as part of the hero pay, like the little bonus for those that stayed, continued working through the pandemic, even when, you know, the administration wasn't in the building, or you know, they put themselves in harm's way by getting into school every day. Our lunch folks, the ones that provide the food, our bus drivers, all of those folks, they are the heroes of this pandemic when it comes to education. And we absolutely have to reward them for the good work that they've done. And, you know, find ways to give them incentives. If you started as a para and then you became a licensed teacher, that's what we want. And so there is legislation. And in fact, I carried there's a bill. It's a very comprehensive bill, increasing teachers of color and indigenous. And we've been putting a lot of money into that to recruit, to help through that licensure process and getting your degree, becoming a teacher, and then having a mentor there, and then you becoming a mentor to do that. So those are the kind of things that we are looking at, because let's hope, knock on wood, that next fall we will be going back to a full-time school year, barring any more of these bizarre renditions of this pandemic.
Yeah, I agree. That's awesome. And it's great that you are on the educational subcommittee or committee, and being boots on the ground, you can really make sense to these people that, you know, that are hard to make sense to, I guess, on the other side of the table about your experience. And there's nothing more than experience that, I just feel, again, there's a lot of people commenting on our Facebook and YouTube here about paras need to get paid more, and I agree. And you made a really good point about the lunch ladies, the custodians, the people that really are boots on the ground. And some districts are pretty top heavy, you know, and we have to be aware of that. And but so we got about 3.5 minutes left here. What else is going on? Have you seen Representative Heather Keeler running around at the state capitol? I know she stopped in Monday, or was it Tuesday?
Yep. I went over and picked up a bill from her that I'm going to carry in the Senate, and that is to remove the name of Columbus from Columbus Day and put in Indigenous Peoples Day. She's a real champion. But one thing that really gives me terrible heartburn are some of the bills that are getting drafted and dropped that are going to intending on removing a woman's right to choose her reproductive health, specifically abortion. And those are the things that are flying through the different states, trying to undo the federal laws that say, yes, a woman has a right to choose to terminate a pregnancy or not. And, it's kind of that keep your hands off my body sort of thing. And we had a couple of pieces of legislation dropped here in Minnesota. It's all sort of copycat legislation around the nation. And so we formed a Reproductive Freedom Caucus in between our House members and our Senate members for our Democrats, the DFL party. And we are going to be doing our best to push back against those rights of women, and to ensure that we all have that access to comprehensive, affordable, reproductive health. And, the government should not be deciding on that kind of thing. So we'll be working hard on that.
That's awesome. And I just want to correct myself. Nina was gracious enough to correct me. I did not mean lunch ladies. I meant food service, because I'm old and we called them lunch ladies back then. But it's more respectful to call them food service people. So my bad. I apologize. Yeah.
We've got to give them the kudos when we say it. Yep.
Exactly. Well, it's non-binary, you know, it might have been ladies when I was a kid, but there's all different people working in the food service. And so again, Nina, thank you for that. Great to see you. And we got a minute left. What's your plan next week?
So next week we do start finally the education committee hearings. I also sit on the redistricting. We just had our precinct caucuses, and now we're waiting for the maps to come from the courts because we couldn't figure it out in the legislature. That should come out in mid-February, and then we'll see which districts we're all in, and then just continue to get informed around the issues that are happening and the legislation that's being dropped. I'm also on the forestry and mining committee here in Minnesota, and so there have been a lot of nonprofits and environmental folks that have been talking to me, kind of letting me know what they're seeing and they understand. So look forward to it.
Thank you, State Senator Mary Kunish. We'll be right back after this short break.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in 4 directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. How?
Oh! All right, Wendy, it's a sacred animal time here. Yeah. We've had another nice show. Thank you, Nancy Bolio, North Dakota Representative Ruth Buffalo, and of course our own State Senator Mary Kunish. Now The floor is all yours, Wendy. Welcome.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. And I know they had a lot of serious information today on the show that we share. But on Fridays, I'd like to kind of keep it light on my animal section, because during the week, we do talk a lot of about, you know, many serious, devastating things that are hard to hear about animals. So on Fridays, I kind of like to keep it fun. So we'll be keeping it fun today. My name is Hana Jihihani, and that means cares for them. And as everybody knows, I was given that name by my Adega Curtis. So as always, Curtis, thank you. I am a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. So in the past few Fridays, what I've been doing is talking about 30 clawsome fun facts about cougars, and we haven't gone through all 30 yet. So I think we left off at number 21 the last time. So I want to get through them. They're really pretty fun. This article and these facts were written by Michelle Gabriel. And this is from a site called the Number Fact Site, and it's science and nature and animals. So they give a lot of information. So I find cougars, which are also panthers and pumas, they're all the same animal and they're called different things depending on where they live in the world. One of the things I want to say this again, and I know I've repeated this, but I think it's pretty funny. But despite their impressive size, cougars do not roar, but instead they purr. They are the biggest cat that can purr and meow. I would really love to hear one. I should like Google the sound of a cougar because I'd really love to hear them meow. I'm sure it's a pretty deep meow, not like our cat Lucy, you know.
Meow.
There you go. Something like that, right?
Yeah.
I would say. The last time we left off, we were on number 21. And it was a word that I did not know the meaning to. So this is it. This is it. Let's see if you know what this means, Robert. Cougars are typically active around dawn and dusk, making them crepuscular mammals. And I didn't know what the word crepuscular was. And I said I'd have to go ahead and look that up and come back to you. So I did.
It's nighttime?
Yeah, it's twilight. Yeah, animals that are active during twilight. Yeah, yeah.
In the movie business, we call that magic time.
Exactly, crepuscular. I don't have a very good vocabulary, so learning about animals also improves and sharpens my vocabulary, which is good. Right? One good thing. Number 22, cougars' sizes vary depending on their location. Cougars that live closer to the equator are generally smaller, with their size increasing the further away they are. So I guess as northern they get, the bigger the cats get, which is an awesome fact.
Mm-hmm.
Despite their impressive size, pumas cannot roar again, but instead purr. They are the biggest cat that can purr and meow. This is probably due to the fact that they are more closely related to the domestic cat rather than other large cats like lions and tigers. Huh. So I didn't know that either. That's unbelievable.
Just to respond to the size of the cougars, I know Johnny Cougar Mellencamp's really short, and I think he is from the South. So there you go, right?
I think that's funny, right? I have a dog barking here in the background. I don't know if you could hear it, but to cougars' prey being mostly – listen to this, though. Due to cougars' prey being mostly herbivorous, the seeds in the stomach of their victims will be spread through the cougar's scat, which is their poop. This results in cougars unintentionally planting over 90,000 plants a year. That's a pretty good one, right?
Yeah.
Pumas are extremely territorial, often dominating home ranges up to 150 square miles. Wow. That's pretty wild. Could you tell me how big 150 square miles is? Do you have any idea of how big that is, like comparatively to something else? Because I don't really have a clue. Well, that would be something I would have to Google, too.
We'd have to go to Eau Claire and then up north 150 miles and then left 150 miles.
Wow, that's really far.
Down another 150 miles back to the cities.
Wow, so they're dominating home ranges of up to 150 square miles. That's amazing. More often than not, mountain lions won't attack humans unless they feel threatened. So, yeah, I think it is pretty rare that we hear about mountain lions you know, attacking humans. When it comes to hunting, cougars will stalk their prey, then pounce and attack their victim's throat or back of the neck. Ew, that wasn't a fun fact, but it's
true.
Could you guess, or do you have any idea what's the average inches of their tail, a cougar's tail?
Which 18, which helps 18 inches.
18 inches. 33 inches.
What the?
Yep. Cougar's tail average around 33 inches, which helps them balance. So comparatively, our cat Lucy, she has a pretty long tail for a little cat, right?
Look at Kathleen said to jump from trees, too.
Yes.
Is the cougar jump in trees?
Yeah, they jump in trees. They do. They climb trees and sit on branches, and then they can pounce on prey. Yeah. It is difficult to get an accurate account of how many cougars are in the wild because they remain so well hidden. By approximation, there are about 50,000 cougars in the wild. Now, I don't know if that's the world or the United States. That's something else I'm going to have to look up and get back to you on. While certain populations of mountain lions have dropped, there are still a large amount of cougars out there, so much so that their species is still at least concern. So I guess they're not really worried about them going extinct. But I guess they really don't know how many there are. So I know that sometimes they are hunted. I also have 13 jolly facts about German shepherds. How much time do we have?
30 seconds.
Let's see what we have here. Let's see the first one. German shepherds were originally bred for a very specific reason. Let's see what it is. And if not, it'll be a cliffhanger.
Exactly.
Cliffhanger for next Friday. How about we leave it as a cliffhanger for next Friday, and I'll make sure I get back to the specific things about German Shepherds. I don't really like to talk about any specific dog breeds. I like people if they just go to their local shelter and get the dog in need, because I always say the best breed is the dog in need. I even have a t-shirt that says that, and I'm very proud to wear it. So
I was going to say that'd be a great, great t-shirt.
It already is.
Hey, Peeny Geegee Wendy, for all you do for our sacred animals all across Turtle Island, really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Right on. I would like to end with these thoughts. If you are listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, or run for office. I've been your host, Robert Pilot. Again, Peeny Geegee to all our guests. And I would just want to say, we're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop Line 3. Please get vaccinated and boosted.